1 mile away, the hulking albino named Silas limped through the front gate of the luxurious brownstone residence on Rue La Bruyère. The spiked Silas belt that he wore around his thigh cut into his flesh, and yet his soul sang with satisfaction of service to the Lord. Pain is good. His red eyes scanned the lobby as he entered the residence. Empty. He climbed the stairs quietly, not wanting to awaken any of his fellow numeraries. His bedroom door was open. Locks were forbidden here. He entered, closing the door behind him. The room was Spartan. Hardwood floors, a pine dresser, a canvas mat in the corner that served as his bed. He was a visitor here this week, and yet for many years he had been blessed with a similar sanctuary in New York City. The Lord has provided me shelter and purpose in my life. Tonight, at last, Silas felt he had begun to repay his debt. Hurrying to the dresser, he found the cell phone hidden in his bottom drawer and placed a call to a private extension.
Yes?
A male voice answered.
Teacher, I have returned.
Speak, the voice commanded.
All four are gone. The three seneschal and the Grand Master himself.
There was a momentary pause, as if for prayer.
Then I assume you have the information? All four concurred, independently.
And you believed them?
Their agreement was too great for coincidence.
So, my pupil, tell me what I must know.
Silas knew the information he had gleaned from his victims would come as a shock.
Teacher, all four confirmed the existence of the Clef de Voûte, the legendary Keystone.
He could feel the teacher's excitement.
The Keystone? Exactly as we suspected.
According to lore, the Brotherhood had created a map of stone, a Clef de Voûte, or Keystone, that revealed the final resting place of the Brotherhood's greatest secret.
When we possess the Keystone, the teacher said, we will be only one step away.
We are closer than you think. The Keystone is here in Paris. It is almost too easy.
Silas relayed the earlier events of the evening, how all four of his victims, moments before death, had desperately tried to buy back their godless lives by telling their secret. Each had told Silas the exact same thing, that the Keystone was ingeniously hidden at a precise location inside one of Paris's ancient churches, Église de Saint-Sulpice.
Inside the house of the Lord, the teacher exclaimed. How they mock us, as they have for centuries.
The teacher fell silent, as if letting the triumph of this moment settle over him. Finally, he spoke.
You have done a great service to God. We have waited centuries for this. You must retrieve the stone for me, immediately, tonight.
Then, with the confident tone of a man of enormous influence, the teacher explained what was to be done. The crisp April air whipped through the open window of the Citroën ZX as it skimmed south past the Opera House and crossed Place Vendôme. In the passenger seat, Robert Langdon felt the city tear past him as he tried to clear his thoughts. His quick shower and shave had left him looking reasonably presentable, but had done little to ease his anxiety. The frightening image of the curator's body remained locked in his mind.
Jacques Saunière is dead.
Langdon could not help but feel a deep sense of loss at the curator's death. Despite Saunière's reputation for being reclusive, his recognition for dedication to the arts made him an easy man to revere. Tonight's meeting had been one Langdon was very much looking forward to, and he was disappointed when the curator had not shown.
Le capitaine was pleased to discover you were still in Paris tonight, the agent said, speaking for the first time since they'd left the hotel. A fortunate coincidence.
As they entered the famed Tuileries Gardens, the Citroën swerved left, angling west down the central boulevard. Straight ahead, through the archway, Langdon could now see the monolithic Renaissance palace that had become the most famous art museum in the world, Musée du Louvre. Langdon felt a familiar tinge of wonder as his eyes made a futile attempt to absorb the entire mass of the edifice. Shaped like an enormous horseshoe, the Louvre was the longest building in Europe, stretching farther than three Eiffel Towers laid end to end. The driver pulled out a handheld walkie-talkie and spoke in rapid-fire French. An indecipherable confirmation came crackling back. The agent turned to Langdon.
You will meet the captain at the main entrance.
The Louvre's main entrance was visible now, rising boldly in the distance.
La Pyramide.
The new entrance to the Paris Louvre had become almost as famous as the museum itself. The controversial neo-modern glass pyramid, designed by Chinese-born American architect I.M. Pei, still evoked scorn from traditionalists who felt it destroyed the dignity of the Renaissance courtyard. Progressive admirers, though, hailed Pei's 71-foot-tall transparent pyramid as a dazzling synergy of ancient structure and modern method.
What is the captain's name? Langdon asked.
Bezoufache,
the driver said as he pulled the car to a stop and pointed to a large door in the side of the pyramid.
There is the entrance.
Langdon climbed out, then strode to the main entrance. He raised his hand to bang on the glass, but out of the darkness below, a figure appeared, striding up the curving staircase. The man was stocky and dark, dressed in a dark double-breasted suit that strained to cover his wide shoulders. He advanced with an unmistakable authority and motioned for Langdon to enter.
I am Bezoufache, he announced as Langdon came in, captain of the Central Directorate Judicial Police.
Langdon held out his hand to shake. Robert Langdon. Fash's enormous palm wrapped around Langdon's with crushing force.
I saw the photo, Langdon said. Your agent said Jacques Saunier himself did...
Mr. Langdon.
Fash's ebony eyes locked on.
What you see in the photo is only the beginning of what Saunier did.